Hello, and welcome to today's Richmond Times-Dispatch Sports for Saturday, April 26th. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Steve Bush. Our first article from today's front page is the NFL Draft. Henderson headed north. The Patriots select the ex-Hopewell and Ohio State tailback in the second round. From the Associated Press. Ohio State's Travion Henderson, a former star running back at Hopewell High School, was picked by the New England Patriots on Friday with the sixth pick in the second round, 38th overall, of the NFL Draft. Henderson, the 2019 All-Metro Player of the Year with the Blue Devils, helped lead the Buckeyes to this year's national championship. He rushed 144 times for 1,016 yards, 10 touchdowns, and caught 27 passes for 284 yards and a touchdown. With the Patriots, he joins a team with a new coach in Mike Vrabel and an ascending second-year quarterback in Drake May, the third overall pick in last year's draft. Fourth-year back Ramondre Stevenson led the Patriots with 801 rushing yards on 207 carries for 3.9 yards per carry. Former Washington Commanders tailback Antonio Gibson also is on the New England roster. Henderson, who was the number one running back recruit in the country coming out of Hopewell, was the Gatorade State Player of the Year and led the Blue Devils to a 15-0 record and a Class 3 state championship as a junior. He didn't play his senior season due to COVID-19 and opted to enroll early at Ohio State. Overall, Henderson rushed for 3,761 yards on 590 carries for a 6.4 average with 42 touchdowns in four seasons with the Buckeyes. He added 77 catches for 853 yards, or an 11.1-yard average, and six more scores. The story of the second round, similar to the first, was the slide of Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders, who was widely viewed as a first-round talent but was still available entering the third round of the draft. It was a stunning fall for Sanders, who once was viewed as a candidate to be picked first overall. The lone quarterback selection in the second round came when New Orleans passed on Sanders in favor of Tyler Shough, a 25-year-old who finished his college career at Louisville after making stops at Oregon and Texas Tech. He was chosen 40th overall. Saints veteran quarterback Derek Carr has what general manager Mickey Loomis described as a shoulder issue, leaving his availability uncertain heading into off-season workouts. Cleveland had two of the first four picks in the second round and has a clear need at quarterback. Kenny Pickett and 40-year-old Joe Flacco are the Browns' current QBs. Yet the Browns selected UCLA linebacker Carlson Schweisinger at number 33 and Ohio State running back Quinshon Judkins at number 36. Another player regarded as a potential first-round selection had a longer wait than expected. Michigan cornerback Will Johnson, who was in the green room during Thursday's first round, went to Arizona in the second round with the 47th overall pick. A reported knee issue caused Johnson's stock to fall. The second round also included the selection of three more players, including Henderson and Judkins, from national champion Ohio State, which had four players taken in the first round. Seven of the first 45 selections played at Ohio State. Marshall edge rusher Mike Green, who started his career at Virginia and led FBS in sacks with 17 in 2024, was picked by Baltimore with the 27th pick of the second round and 59th overall. The Falcons, Atlanta doubled down on its commitment to boosting its pass rush by selecting Georgia linebacker Jaylen Walker with the number 15 pick and then trading with the Los Angeles Rams to add Tennessee defensive end James Pierce Jr. later in the first round. Walker won the 2024 Butkus Award as the nation's best linebacker. Pierce ran the 40-yard dash at 4.47 seconds to rank as the fastest defensive lineman at the NFL Scouting Combine. The Falcons finished next to last in the NFL with 31 sacks last season and were widely expected to make the pass rush a priority in the draft. The Steelers, Pittsburgh viewed as a first-round landing spot for either a quarterback or running back, instead addressed another need by selecting Oregon defensive tackle Derek Harmon, a second-team All-American, with the 21st pick. Pittsburgh's decision to pass on quarterbacks Sanders and Jackson Dart likely props the door open even more for Aaron Rodgers to sign with the Steelers to join a room that at the moment has just two players in Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson. The Chargers, with Pittsburgh passing on a running back, Los Angeles snatched up former North Carolina star Omarion Hampton with the 22nd pick. The Chargers will pair Hampton who rushed for more than 1,500 yards the past two seasons with the Tar Heels, with Najee Harris, a free agent signee, who rushed for more than 1,000 yards four times with the Steelers. The Chargers, and Packers as well, the draft's host team hadn't picked a wide receiver in the first round since 2002. That changed when Green Bay picked Texas's Matthew Golden with the 23rd pick. Golden, 21, posted the fastest time for a skill position player at the NFL Combine in the 40-yard dash with a time of 4.29 seconds. He'll join a young but deep receiving group that is looking for a true number one receiver. Green Bay has not had a 1,000-yard receiver since Devontae Adams in 2021. The Giants, New York, got their possible quarterback of the future by trading their way back into the first round. Mississippi's Jackson Dart was selected with the number 25 overall pick a few hours after the Giants bolstered its defense by taking Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter at number 3. New York acquired the 25th pick from Houston to take Dart and sent the Texans its second-round pick, number 34, a third-round pick, number 99, and a third-rounder in next year's draft. Dart likely won't be rushed into the starting lineup. The Giants signed veterans Russell Wilson, who's expected to open the season as the starter, and Jameis Winston last month as free agents. Dart was the second QB selected in this year's draft after Cam Ward went number one overall to Tennessee. The Giants passed on Colorado Sanders twice, and the son of Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders wasn't drafted in the first round. And that article from today's front page was Henderson headed north. The Patriots select the ex-Hopewell and Ohio State tailback in the second round, by the Associated Press. In a related NFL draft article, the Colts are ecstatic Warren tumbled to them at number 14. The ex-Atley High Star was the second tight end picked in round one, by Michael Merritt of the Associated Press. Dateline, Indianapolis. Tight end Tyler Warren slid right into the Indianapolis Colts' hands Thursday night in the NFL draft. Now they'll have to figure out how best to use his versatility. General manager Chris Ballard filled his most glaring need by selecting last season's John Mackey Award winner with the number 14 overall pick. "Sometimes you're a little lucky," Ballard said. "He's a good pick for us. Adds toughness to our team. The last time I felt this good about a number one pick, and I liked all of them, was guard Quentin Nelson. Like it was easy." In fact, Ballard acknowledged Warren, a former quarterback and punter at Atley High School, is a lot like Nelson, the perennial all-pro guard, right down to his quiet demeanor and dominant play. The Colts have been searching for a dynamic tight end since two-time Pro Bowler Jack Doyle announced his retirement following the 2021 season. Indy has not had a tight end top the 500-yard mark since Eric Ebron in 2018, and it wasn't because they skipped over the position. But Indy did not have the draft capital to move up and select Kyle Pitts, who went number 4 overall in 2021, and Brock Bowers slipped out of their grasp last season when he went two spots ahead of Indy's pick. This time the twists worked in their favor. The Chicago Bears selected tight end Colston Loveland of Michigan ahead of Warren, widely regarded as top tight end in this year's draft class, forcing the Colts to sweat out three more picks. "It's flavors and fit," Ballard said, noting they never discussed trading into one of those three spots to get Warren. So when their turn came, Ballard didn't hesitate to take the guy number one receiver Michael Pittman lobbied for when the team's off-season workouts began. "He can do a lot now," Ballard said. "He can play multiple spots. He has the quarterback background. He can play in the backfield. He's a great 50-50 ball catcher, and he's violent after the catch. He brings an element of toughness I thought we needed offensively. I think Coach Shane Steichen will find unique ways to use him." The Colts certainly believe Warren can help improve an offense that ranked 17th in the league in scoring with 22.2 points and 25th in passing yards at 197.7 per game. And he has the ability to become the middle-of-the-field security blanket and so much more to help either Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones become the franchise quarterback scouts envisioned when they entered the league. They're now competing for Indy's starting job. Richardson, the number 4 overall pick in 2023, had the lowest completion percentage among NFL starters last season at 47.7%. The New York Giants used the number 6 pick in 2019 on Jones. They released him in November at Jones' request. Warren toiled playing in relative anonymity his first three seasons with the Nittany Lions before catching 34 passes for 412 yards in 2023. Then last season he became a national phenomenon. He caught 104 passes for 1,233 yards and 8 touchdowns, had 26 carries for 218 yards and 4 TDs, while also completing 3 of 6 passes for 35 yards and 1 TD as the Nittany Lions reached the College Football Playoff semifinals. He won the Big Ten receptions title, and against Pittman's alma mater, Southern California, Warren finished with 17 catches for 224 yards, tying the FBS single-game record for receptions in a game, while becoming just the second tight end in Big Ten history to top 200 yards in a game. And now he could be lining up part-time in a backfield featuring 2021 NFL rushing champ Jonathan Taylor and a dangerous running quarterback in Richardson. He just dominated the USC game in a way you didn't see any other player in college football last year, Ballard said. He caught 17 balls on the road, and they know he's getting the ball, and they just keep feeding it to him. He's a unique player. I'm really excited. And that front page article on the NFL draft was, "The Colts are ecstatic Warren tumbled to them at number 14. The ex-Atlee High star was the second tight end picked in round one," by Michael Merritt of the Associated Press. Next from today's front page is William and Mary football. The Tribe is joining the Spiders in the Patriot League. Football move is set for 2026. William and Mary will stay in the CAA for other sports, by John O'Connor of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. William and Mary is known for its connection to history. The school's football program repeated some Friday. The Tribe announced they are leaving CAA football for the Patriot League, football-only affiliation, following the University of Richmond shift last spring from CAA football to the Patriot League, also only for football. This feels a lot like what happened many years ago. Richmond in 1986 joined the Yankee Conference, which eventually became CAA football. William and Mary left independent status to come aboard that league for football in 1993. William and Mary fortified CAA football, would be expected to fortify Patriot League football, and the Tribe's move reconnects Virginia rivals in a football conference. William and Mary will stay in the CAA for other sports while transferring its FCS program to the Patriot League in 2026. William and Mary's move is an important step towards realizing the Patriot League's vision as a home for institutions deeply committed to academic achievement and the student-athlete experience to compete against each other at the very highest levels of FCS football, John Hart, Richmond's vice president and director of athletics, said in a school statement. The Patriot League also includes Lafayette, Holy Cross, Colgate, Georgetown, Fordham, Lehigh, and Bucknell. Moving football to the Patriot League is the strategic decision that will align our program with other schools that play competitive football in a strong FCS conference with student athletes who achieve at the highest level, Brian Mann, William & Mary's director of athletics, said in a school release. Richmond and William & Mary on April 16th announced an annual playing agreement that runs through 2030, which will be unnecessary as Patriot League members. The Tribe, similar to the Spiders, grew disillusioned with the direction of CAA football, which had 16 schools last season. The roster included Monmouth, Hampton, Campbell, Bryant, and North Carolina A&T, expansion additions in recent years. Some league teams have annually been stocked to a great extent with transfers. James Madison and Delaware, traditional rivals of Richmond and William & Mary, left for the FBS. There wasn't much reason to stay in CAA football for Richmond and William & Mary, schools the Patriot League recruited for decades. Richmond, in the Atlantic 10 Conference for Sports Other Than Football, announced on May 14, 2024, it was leaving CAA football for the Patriot League. A day after, Mann, William & Mary's athletic director since 2021, said the William & Mary community seemed disappointed in Richmond's shift and added Richmond's decision to leave CAA football did not change William & Mary's commitment to that league. "We're proud to be in the CAA. It remains one of the strongest FCS conferences in the country," he told the Times-Dispatch. "We've had some great success over the last couple of years in that conference, and we're going to continue to do everything we can to build strength in it and use it as a springboard into the FCS playoffs and make a deep run as we did a couple of years ago." And that article from today's front page was, "The Tribe joining the Spiders in the Patriot League." The football move is set for 2026. William and Mary will stay in the CAA for other sports. By John O'Connor of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Next from today's front page is VCU basketball. Bamboye is leaving, Bell is returning. The big man is heading to Texas Tech after 1 year with the Rams. By Zach Yoakum of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. VCU rising sophomore forward Luke Bamboye on Thursday night announced his commitment to Texas Tech a couple hours after rising junior wing Michael Bell announced his return to the Rams. Both entered the transfer portal following the departure of former VCU coach Ryan Odom for Virginia. Bamboye's departure is a tough pill for Rams fans to swallow, while Bell's withdrawal from the portal comes as a welcome relief. A 6'10", 200-pound London native, Bamboye quickly became a fan favorite while starting 24 and appearing in 35 games in a strong freshman season. He averaged 3.8 points and 3.3 rebounds. The hyper-athletic Englishman was one of the top shot blockers in the country with 75, regularly denying opponents at the rim with eye-catching rejections that drew Luke chance in the Siegel Center. Bamboye was named to the Atlantic 10 All-Freshman and All-Defensive Teams. Texas Tech was a number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament and reached the Elite 8 before bowing out to eventual national champion Florida 84-79. A product of AZ Compass Prep in Chandler, Arizona, Bamboye fielded concerted interest from Phoenix-based Grand Canyon. But in the modern college hoops landscape and transfer portal, bigs come at a premium. And high-level power conference programs such as Coach Grant McCaslin's Red Raiders made pushes for Bamboye in the latter stages of his time in the portal. The portal giveth and the portal taketh away. Bamboye's departure is a prime example of the cold nature of this day and age in college basketball, especially for mid-major programs. 1 minute a player is forging a strong bond with a fan base as a breakout freshman, the next they're off to greener pastures. But Bell's announcement illustrates the opposite path, in which a player stays through a coaching change despite exploring other options in the portal. A 6'8", 220-pound wing who also hails from London, Bell is a rugged defender and strong rebounder who likely hasn't yet realized his potential with the Rams. He's appeared in 71 games in 2 seasons, averaging 2.8 points and 2.8 rebounds in 13.7 minutes. His statistical production was just about the same his sophomore year compared to his freshman season, but his playing time took a marginal step back. His positional versatility and defensive physicality would seem to fit new coach Phil Martelli Jr.'s system well. Those facets of Bell's game have, since he first stepped on the Siegel Center floor, shined. It's his offensive acumen, particularly on the perimeter, that has held him back. Bell is 9 of 64, or 14.1%, from three-point range in his college career. Defenders tend to sag off him and dare Bell to take outside shots, which clogs floor spacing. If he can refine those aspects of his game, there's always seemed a high ceiling given Bell's physical gifts, defensive skill, and proclivity for crashing the glass with aplomb. It will be fascinating to see what inroads Martelli and his staff can make relative to Bell's development. And that article from today's front page on VCU basketball was Bamboye leaving, Bell is returning. The big man is heading to Texas Tech after 1 year with the Rams. By Zach Yoakum of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. The final article from today's front page is University of Richmond Baseball. The Spiders Whitley proficient in thievery. The center fielder, also a defensive whiz, nears Richmond's stolen base mark. By John O'Connor of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. A late April appraisal suggests there are two University of Richmond baseball teams. The Spiders are 19-2 outside of the Atlantic 10 Conference, including wins at Virginia and North Carolina State, and 7-12 in league games. The constant running through Richmond's field of fluctuation has been Aaron Whitley as a bag-swiping offensive motor. The graduate center fielder from Niskayuna, New York, has succeeded in 29 of 30 attempts through Friday's game versus visiting St. Louis, which opened a 3-game series with a 6-3 victory. Just not a good jump. Got caught, Whitley said of his failed attempt. It happens. Whitley was picked off second twice, making his official ratio 29 of 32. The 5'11", 185-pounder is closing on the Spiders record for steals in a season set by John Wagler, who stole 35 bases on 41 attempts in 1998. Richmond's season continues for about another 3 weeks following the visit from St. Louis, with three A-10 weekend series and a couple of non-conference games. Then comes the A-10 tournament May 20th to 24th at Capital One Park in Tysons. Whitley was recently told by a representative of the University Sports Information Department that as a base dealer, he is closing in on a school mark, but I don't know the number or anything, he said. It could be argued that Whitley's stealing achievements and those of other college base dealers are more impressive than those of professional players. In the pro game, pitchers are limited to 2 pickoff attempts per plate appearance, which provides base runners advantages as counts deepen. In NCAA baseball, pitchers' pickoff attempts are unlimited. Guys will definitely come over more, so maybe you just get a little bit dirtier, said Whitley, who ranks 10th nationally in steals. Whitley said he views base running as his favorite part of the game, but it's clearly not the only aspect of baseball at which he excels. Whitley is batting .344 with 7 homers, 29 RBIs, and 54 runs in 40 games. His superpower, however, may be defending. Whitley, 23, last season was named the A-10 Defensive Player of the Year. He has not made an error this season. I don't know that I've ever coached a better center fielder in my life, said second-year Richmond coach Mike Aoki, a former coach at Boston College, Notre Dame, Morehead State, and Columbia. It is absolutely elite, the ground he covers, the jumps that he gets. Whitley's brother Garrett Whitley, also an outfielder, was Tampa Bay's 2015 first-round draft choice, 13th overall, as an 18-year-old. He suffered a serious shoulder injury and played 7 years in the minor leagues, reaching AAA. Aaron, who regularly seeks Garrett's counsel, said he also hopes to play professionally. A baseball career seemed far-fetched not that long ago. Whitley was a football receiver at the University of Rochester, a Division III school. He did not plan to participate in college baseball, though he stood out in the sport as a high school player. Whitley said he met the Rochester baseball coach, and he kind of convinced me to join the team, and I just tried out and made it and went from there. He played football and baseball at Rochester, focusing on baseball during later years at the school. In 3 full seasons at Rochester, Whitley batted .475, .347, and .377, with a .118 game on base percentage of .493. On the base paths, Whitley's speed helps, but there's more to it, he believes. Getting your jumps is important, and then our coaches help us. They'll give us times pitchers have to home or slide step tendencies, pickoff tendencies, stuff like that, he said. Knowing the tendencies of the pitchers is probably the second most important thing. And that next game, St. Louis at Richmond, is today at 1 p.m. And that article from today's front page was the Spiders' Whitley proficient in thievery. The center fielder, also a defensive whiz, nears Richmond's stolen base mark, by John O'Connor of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Next from today's sports page is high school baseball. First, from page B3, Harris and an animated Rapids team take down the Lancers. The outfielder hammers a bases-empty home run in the second inning, by Weldon Bradshaw, special correspondent. The hype-filled chatter blaring from the James River High School dugout never waned. For 7 innings Thursday night, the Rapids let it fly, not to razz their opponents from Manchester, certainly not to work the umpires, but simply to encourage, inspire, and ignite their teammates, whether they were digging in at the plate or holding forth in the field. Energy was a big difference maker, James River coach Pete Schumacher said shortly after his guys laid claim to a well-earned 5-2 road victory. We're a really close team. We had some young guys playing today for the first time. The older guys embraced that. They take care of those young guys. That's a constant buildup. James River, now 5-2, went ahead 1-0 in the top of the first when Garnett Power drew a 2-out base on balls, advanced to second on Connor Sprouse's single, then scored when designated hitter Brian Consuegra singled to right. The Rapids added 2 more runs in the second when Cooper Harris hit a shot into the woods behind the center field fence, and Will Camera, who followed Harris's home run with a single and ultimately made his way to third, scored on Power sacrifice fly to center field. First pitch changeup landed strike one, said Harris, a senior right fielder, of his home run at bat. Second pitch was outside for ball one. Then he threw me a curveball that sat up, and I swung over it big time. I was out in front. So I choked up, moved up half a step in the box. I was really trying to simplify and see a pitch deep and hit the other way. He surprised me with a fastball. I just reacted and turned as fast as I could, ended up getting a pretty good swing on it. The Lancers, playing their third game in 3 days, refused to go away on this warm, hazy, increasingly windy evening. In the home third, Easton Van Dyke walked with one out, stole second, advanced to third on a passed ball, and scored on Asher Blaylock's single to left. James River pushed across two runs in the fourth. Jaden Grant drew a two-out walk, stole second, and scored on Power's sharp single up the middle. Power then stole second and scored on Sprouse's single to center. Getting base hits is the most important thing, said Sprouse, who went 3 for 4. If I get an extra base hit, sweet, but my job is to get on base and move the runner over. Manchester, now 6-6, scored its last run in the fourth. Judah Parks and Landon Anderson led off with consecutive singles and advanced on a double steal. Anderson ultimately scored on Jacob Norton's single. The Rapids aided their cause by thwarting a second run in the fourth with a well-executed rundown between third and home, and by turning two bang-bang double plays, one in the first and another in the sixth. The first double play occurred when Grant nabbed a line drive at shortstop and threw to camera at first to catch the base runner as he attempted to scurry back. The other came when Sprouse, playing first, fielded a hard-hit grounder, threw to Grant to force the runner at second, then received the return throw from Grant to catch the batter before he got back to first. Sprouse, a junior right-hander, pitched the first 3 1/3 innings for the Rapids before moving to first when Camara took the mound. A freshman left-hander, Camara held the Lancers in check through the sixth when Grant closed with 3 strikeouts in the seventh. Sprouse allowed just 1 earned run, walked 2, and struck out 3. The other team was picking up on my fastball, so I had to mix them up, he said. I got my off-speed pitch ahead in the count, got the curveball out in front. Sometimes my knuckleball was working, sometimes it wasn't. With our defense, I can really trust to throw it in the zone and get outs. The key, though, was the Rapids' unifying, uplifting energy. For a whole team, Sprouse said. Once we get the energy up, we're the force. High energy in the dugout, high energy in the infield and outfield. That makes everyone play better. And that article from page B3 was Harris and an animated Rapids team take down the Lancers. The outfielder hammers a bases-empty home run in the second inning. Weldon Bradshaw, special correspondent. And before we conclude the reading of today's Richmond Times-Dispatch sports section, we have time to turn to the briefs from page B2. First, in college lacrosse, Olsen and Richmond wrap up the A-10 crowd. Lucas Olsen scored 3 goals as number 10 Richmond won the outright Atlantic 10 regular season championship with a 10-7 victory over number 17 St. Joseph's in Philadelphia on Friday. Joe Sheridan added 2 goals, and Gavin Creo, Henry Alpo, Jake Ricciardi, Lucas Littlejohn, and Max Merklinger each scored once for the Spiders, now 11-3 overall, 5-0 in conference play, who won their 6th straight game. Olsen capped his hat trick at 11:15 of the fourth quarter, during which Richmond, which entered the game 3rd in the country in scoring defense, with 7.92 goals per game, held the Hawks, the defending conference champions, scoreless. The Hawks are now 9-5 overall, 2-3 in the conference. The Spiders will be the top seed for the A-10 tournament, which is next Thursday and Saturday at St. Joe's. And that was from today's sports briefs. Olsen and Richmond wrap up the A-10 crown. And that's all the time we have for the Richmond Times-Dispatch sports section for today. This program will be rebroadcast this evening at 7 p.m. and is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org. I'm Steve Bush for the Virginia Voice. Thank you for listening.